Good morning, Pastor Susan here, coming to you from Bethany United Methodist Church in Weirs Cave, Virginia. Good to have you with us. Want to remind you that if you would like to share a prayer request, you can go ahead and put that in the comments anytime, and we will include that in the pastoral prayer this morning. I just wanted to mention that the question I hear most right now is, when will we be back in church? And, you know, my understanding is that as the as testing, the number of tests that are done for COVID-19 in Virginia rises, if we see a flattening in the number of positives or the number of positive tests go down, then the governor will start talking about opening things back up. So that's another way of me saying, I don't know, but it will happen. It will happen. Also, I want to let you know that we were hoping to include a video by Beth Metcalf as our children's moment this morning, but due to a little bit of technical difficulty, we couldn't add that to the service, but you can find that on Bethany's Children's Facebook page, and I hope you'll go and take a look at that just so that you can see that. We really had hoped to have that as part of our service this morning.
Our scripture lesson is from the second chapter of Acts, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they had spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
That was Garrett Roller sharing the scripture with us this morning, and appreciate Garrett recording that for us. He has a wonderful speaking voice. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we consider this early picture of the church, Lord, help us to see where you are calling us to be church today. Lord, be with us in our meditation. Be with me. Help my words be your words. Amen. At the beginning of a worship service, back before COVID-19, a pastor in Iowa was handed a note just before the service began, and he opened it up and read it, and it said, it says here that I should announce that there will be no BS this morning. He tucked the piece of paper back in his pocket and added, I'm hoping they mean Bible study. Well, hopefully there is no BS this morning, and no Bible study either. Once upon a time, there was a store that dotted the landscape. There were thousands of them. It was called Blockbuster. In the year 2000, Blockbuster had thousands of stores, and these stores did pretty much one thing. They rented movies. In the beginning, they rented VHS tapes, and later they rented DVDs. You know, you went to the store, you showed them your membership card, you rented the DVD, and then when you were done watching it, you drove it back to the store, and if you were on time, all was well, and if you brought it back late, you paid a fine. And so that was the business model. Well, in 2000, that was the year that a man named Reed Hastings went to Blockbuster headquarters, and in a meeting with the CEO of Blockbuster and the CEO's team, Hastings proposed that his new company partner with Blockbuster and the two companies could work together. Well, Reed Hastings' company was very small, and they just laughed him out of the room. Can you guess the name of Hastings' company? It was Netflix. Netflix didn't have a brick-and-mortar store, and they never would. They were just starting out at that time when Reed Hastings made his proposal to them, and they couldn't imagine in Blockbuster headquarters that this whole thing about mailing out DVDs would ever take off. And that was the business model in the beginning at Netflix. I can remember in 2004 when I was appointed to a church on Lake, not very far from Lake Gaston, and the closest Blockbuster to where we were living was an hour round trip from the house. And then someone told us about this great service called Netflix, where you could order a DVD online and they would send it to you. And when you sent it back, they sent you another one. And it was a game changer for our family. We had two teenage daughters, and the closest mall was an hour and a half away, one way. And suddenly they started to believe that they might survive in our house, in the woods, on the lake. Well, you know the rest of the story about Blockbuster and Netflix. Once there were 9,000 Blockbuster stores, and now there is exactly one in Bend, Oregon. And meanwhile, Netflix went from distributing DVDs by mail to streaming content, and lots of content out there. And in fact, this moment, while we're in quarantine, they're doing more business than ever. Well, our scripture this morning describes a community of believers. Many consider it to be the description of the ideal church, or the church as God intended it to be. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm wondering if it matches the Blockbuster model or if it matches the Netflix model. This is a fairly short passage of scripture we had this morning, but it describes a great deal of activity. So here's what was going on in this early community of believers. There was teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers, wonders and signs, folks being together and having all things in common, things being distributed according to people's need, and they were meeting in homes, they had glad and generous hearts, and they were adding new Christians to their numbers. They met wherever they could, but they were active. They taught and learned and prayed. They ate together and cared for one another. They spent time together, and they grew in number. Recently, I watched a video, which you can find on the Virginia Conference website, vaumc.org. And this video was basically a lesson taught by Philip Wingiareo, who's a professor of Wesleyan Studies and Missiology at Wesley Seminary. And he described God as a missionary God, or to put it another way, he described God as ascending God. In calling Abraham, God was sending Abraham out. When God got Moses' attention with the burning bush, it was for the purpose of sending Moses out. God calls to Samuel, and he's called to be a prophet who will cover a great deal of ground in the service of God. God is ascending God. And what does it mean to be sent when we are supposed to shelter in place? Well, I think about that, and I think about how the early church did not have a building. They met in homes. They met in catacombs, eventually, in other buildings. What defined them wasn't where they met, but what defined them was what they did. Is what they did, and it reminds me that even though we are not meeting in a building, we are still very definitely church. For a long time now, church, and I mean the big C church, Church Universal, has mostly depended on the attractional model of growth and survival. And basically, the attractional model says if you develop interesting, relevant programs, people will show up at your door and the church will thrive, or at least survive. However, I believe that the attractional model is about as appropriate now as Blockbuster Video. We aren't just going to have people show up at our door. We are being called, we are being sent out into the world. And God's actions have been a continuous sending, and is the purpose of God's action in human history, that God is always a sending God. And mission means sending. Theologian Emil Brunner wrote that the church exists by mission as fire exists by burning, that we as a church exist for the purpose of sending. The church came into the world in order to be in mission. It is God's tool to bring about the kingdom of God. And while the church is God's instrument, it certainly is not God's only instrument. Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be spending some time looking at the book of Acts. And I'm reminded that the trajectory of this book in the Bible is always outward. The good news spreads out of Jerusalem throughout the Holy Land and beyond Asia into Macedonia, Greece, and finally to the Roman Empire. And it continues to spread long after the writer concludes the text of Acts. God is a sending God, and the people are sent out by different circumstances, not always great circumstances. Paul arrives in chains in Rome, but he is spreading the gospel. When the faithful are persecuted, the message is spread throughout Asia. And as I think about that, I think about God's prevenient grace, the divine love that surrounds all of humanity and precedes any and all of our conscious impulses toward God. This prevenient grace prompts our first wish to please God. We extend God's grace by partnering with God to bring about God's redemptive purposes. And it all happens before we know that God loves us. I think about how important that is and how that is there for everyone, not just for people who come into the church, but for the world at large. That is where God wants us to take action. I know that we teach children in Sunday school and in vacation Bible school that God loves them. But think about those who never had a chance to go to Sunday school or vacation Bible school. I didn't find out that God loved me until I was about 28 years old. And I was surprised and a little startled to think that God loved me. When I think about prevenient grace, that was a big hook for me to become a Christian. We had been going to church at the encouragement of my mother-in-law, that is, going to church more than just Christmas and Easter. And I thought maybe I wanted to join the church. And the minister came to visit me. The minister was Jim Tung, who some people in this community might know. And as we were talking, he asked me if I had any questions. And I said, well, I have one question. What is this thing called grace? I've heard people singing this hymn, Amazing Grace. What is grace? And so he started to tell me about God's love, how it is there for us. We don't have to do anything for it. We don't have to earn it in any way. God just loves us. And then he said, you know, I know you're an English major. I have a great word for you, and that word is prevenient. And yeah, as an English major, I was like, I've never heard that word before. And he talked about God's love that was there for me long before I ever knew it was. And as I thought about that, I thought about what a difference that might have made in my life if I'd known that when I was younger. I think about myself at about 9 years old, And yeah, I knew in an abstract way that my parents loved me, but I lived in a household that was pretty chaotic. There was addiction, and there was fighting, violence, sometimes physical abuse. And when things got to be just too much in the house, I had this place in the backyard that I would go. Like, there was a corner of the backyard where the fence came together, and there's a big bush in front of it. And I found that I could wriggle back behind that bush, and there was a space, oh, maybe about 2 feet by 3 feet. And I knew that nobody could see me, nobody could find me in that place. And I think about how that 9-year-old girl needed to know that somebody cared, that God loved her. And I think that's what makes us a sent people, that there are people who need to know that God loves them. So the question before us is, are we going to be Blockbuster or Netflix? God seems to be calling us out of the building. It's a trajectory that I would say that Bethany is already on, that they've been following this path for some time. But the path seems clearer than ever right now. In Matthew's gospel, when the women go to the tomb on Easter morning, there is this huge earthquake. Everything gets shaken up. It shakes so hard that it rolls the stone away from the tomb. And I think about that, and I think about how at this moment with COVID-19, everything has been shaken up. Everything gets shook. And things are probably never going to be quite the same. But in this moment, God is still working through us, even though things are so difficult now. We have gone through troubles, and yet it reminds me of one of my favorite hymns, Hymn of Promise. The first line is, "In the bulb there is a flower, in a seed, an apple tree, in cocoons, a hidden promise. Butterflies will soon be free." I like to think of this time in quarantine as our cocoon time. We have this opportunity, in part, to look inward, but the hope is that when we emerge from this, we can't help but be transformed. But my prayer is that we will be transformed for the better, more aware of how incredibly special it is for us to gather together and to see one another face to face, but also understanding how incredibly wonderful this gift of God's love is and how important it is to take it out beyond the walls of the building. I know that we do that already. I know that we give out food at food pantry. People still come, and that food is love, a tangible aspect of God's love. But I hope we will continue to send God's love out of the building, that we will be people who are doing God's mission, God's work, that we are people who are always sent out. Amen. Well, at this time, we have a video that shows the coloring tiles that we were putting together right after Easter. Well, I hope you enjoyed that little video. We're going to take the tiles and have them on the bulletin board here in the church, so you can, when we're back in the building, you can see all of them. It's interesting to see the different the different skin tones and hair colors that Jesus has. And it reminds me that everybody sees Jesus in a way that makes Jesus look like them. And so I think that it's sort of neat to see all of our images, our perceptions come together and make one Easter statement about the life of Jesus and the good news of Jesus. And now we have a moment from our mission moment that comes to us from Maggie Rhodes. So hear what she has to say.
Hey, my friends, Maggie here for a quick at-home mission moment. So this week I wanted to highlight Open Doors. Open Doors is a low-barrier homeless shelter that supports the Rockingham County, Harrisonburg City area and can house up to 40 individuals that are experiencing homelessness each night. Open Doors is doing so much for our community, and we are thankful to be able to support them due to your continued financial support. Open Doors is currently looking for many items, and you can find their full list of donation needs on their website, which is valleyopendoors.org, and I will post a link to that on our Facebook page. If you feel so led to pick up an item the next time you're in town that's on their list, you can drop it off between the hours of 7 and 9 p.m. at Godwin Hall. They have a tote sitting outside that you can place that donation in. So thank you, my friends. Until next time.
I just want to share a few announcements with you. So when you're looking for information about what's going on at the church, and there still is information going on, know that we are posting the happenings every week. You should be getting those by email, and now we're also sending those out through the mail for our folks who don't have email. And if you know someone who doesn't have email and they're not getting the happenings, please let us know in the office, and we will make sure that gets to them. You can also go to our webpage and get more information there. There's now a children's page as part of our Facebook, as part of our web presence, and there's videos and a song on there right now, so give that a look as well. And, of course, you can see announcements on our Facebook page as well. And just a reminder, if I didn't say this before, we are having a church council meeting Tuesday at 6:30, and those council meetings are open to everyone. We're doing them by Zoom right now, so if you would like to participate, you know, let the office know, and we will give you the Zoom link so you can listen in and take part in that. Well, I think that's all the announcements we have. So this is our a reminder and a thank you for everyone who has been donating either through the mail or online. It's been wonderful that people are still supporting the church, and we appreciate that. And the ministry of the church, as Maggie said, there are some wonderful ministries that go on in our community, and we thank everyone who supports them. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we give you thanks for the beauty of the earth. We give you thanks that the world is greening and there is new life and things are growing and it is wonderful. But yet we still have concerns. Lord, I pray first and foremost for all of those who are on the front lines, who are dealing with keeping things going, keeping stores open, keeping hospitals staffed, caring for those who are sick, our first responders, our doctors and nurses, our grocery store workers, people who work at processing plants. Lord, pray for all of them that they would be safe. And Lord, help us to find ways to support these people who are so vital to our continued survival, because it's nothing less. And we are reminded that sometimes we do not appreciate them fully. But Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to find ways to support them and keep them safe. Gracious God, as we gather at a distance, Lord, continue to keep us filled with your Holy Spirit. Help us to feel connected to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Lord, these are strange times, but we pray for those who are ill and ask that you would give them wholeness and health. Lord, I pray for the mental state of each and every one of us as this time in quarantine continues on. Be with us and help us to be whole in mind, but also help us to reach out to others and to reach out for help when we find that we just can't go it alone. Gracious God, continue to be with us. Help us to feel your love, to share that love, and to send it out into the world. I pray for all of those who have lost loved ones, all of those who have gone on to you in these past days, and ask that you would give us hope and comfort in the power of the resurrection to bring new life always and everywhere. In the name of Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, as we prepare to go into the week, I hope that we will be a Netflix church. So next time you're streaming something on Netflix, think about how it is that we are sent out, sent people, not about bricks and mortar, but about going forth. Have a good week.